Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hello.
Charlie, hey, it's Ilya. I hope I'm not disturbing you.
No, not at all. What's going on?
From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Ilya Meritz, in for Charlie Herman, who's on vacation, unlike many American workers.
In 2015, 55% of Americans surveyed didn't use all their vacation time, leaving 658 million days unused.
By comparison, European employees appear to have no qualms about taking advantage of any and all paid time off.
Why aren't Americans taking their vacation time?
So, Charlie, I wanted to ask you, where are you exactly, and why is it important to you personally to take vacation?
So I'm actually sitting out in front of my favorite donut place in all the world in Oakland, California. And I think vacation is just a great thing. It's an opportunity to take a break, to sort of step back from your day-to-day, not only your job, but also life in a lot of ways, and just take a moment to get some perspective and think about things that matter to you and recharge and just feel a lot better.
Awesome. Go have fun. See you in like a little over a week.
See you in a week.
If you're listening to this program, chances are you are not taking your summer break. So let's talk now about why so many workers are reluctant to take time off. My guests are Sarah Green Carmichael of the Harvard Business Review and Andrew Mason, co-founder of Detour and former CEO and founder of Groupon. He joins us via Skype. Andrew, your company offers unlimited paid time off, and this is really the cherry on the sundae. A mandatory week of no company email. You're cut off completely. Why?
We did this at Groupon as well for a little while, where we had unlimited time off. And that's not uncommon, at least in tech companies. And the problem that we ran into is that, which is even with unlimited vacation, a lot of people don't end up taking vacation. It really is dependent on the tone set by your peers and your superiors at the company. So even with an unlimited vacation policy, you'll find that a lot of times people take less than an average of 2 weeks off. So we ended up then at Detour implementing an additional policy, which is to have a mandatory unbroken week off during which you're completely disconnected from the company via email or anything else. There are two reasons. One is that we think it's good for the company to see what happens when it feels like somebody in the company gets hit by a bus, and it forces you to not build organizational dependencies around that person. And the second reason is there's something that happens to you when you disconnect for enough time that you get some distance and you start seeing the forest through the trees.
How's it working out? Are people, in fact, really unplugging? And are your work groupies at Detour as productive as you want them to be if they really are unplugging?
Yeah, I would say that people do it. I definitely do it every year. And people are super productive. And to the degree that they're not productive, it has nothing to do with this policy.
Sarah, Andrew clearly thinks it's better for his workers to take a decent amount of time off and really unplug with no email. Is it better that way? What does the research show?
The research really shows that it is better for employees and for companies when employees take paid time off. First, to go with what Andrew is saying, the research is very clear that our brains can only do so much without a break. I like a quote by J.P. Morgan, who used to say that he could do a year's worth of work in 9 months, but not in 12. That is definitely in line with the research findings. So overwork reduces our ability to make judgment calls, manage our emotions, focus on the big picture. And in fact, researchers have found that when people take at least 11 vacation days a year, they're actually more likely to get promoted and more likely to get a raise. You know, you can infer from that that taking time off is showing up in their work performance. There's also a lot of evidence out there that there's benefits for the team, too. It does improve collaboration and communication when people take time off for exactly the reasons Andrew was saying. It prevents people from hoarding work. And by doing that, it actually can cut down on fraud as well.
I was looking at one of your papers, and it includes a rather scary chart that shows Americans' annual number of vacation days used. What we see in 1996 is a peak at 21.1 days, and then this steady, fairly steep decline to 16 days of vacation today. So what's going on here?
Yeah, that's a really troubling chart. And that's data that's tracked by the U.S. Travel Association, who's understandably really concerned that their industry is being hurt by Americans' refusal to take vacation time.
They're that concerned that Americans are not traveling.
Yeah, I think part of the problem here is really, even though America doesn't guarantee paid time off, the bigger problem is what's going on inside our brains. as you mentioned at the top, many Americans are just leaving vacation time on the table. And I think it has to do with a mix of internal drivers. There's things like ambition, pride, guilt, anxiety, enjoyment. A lot of us just really love our jobs, or we want to prove that we're important. And some of these are really positive things, but some aren't so positive. And I think the bottom line is that all of us need to have a sort of more diversity in our sense of self. We can't identify so strongly with our work, even if we love our jobs. We have to develop other parts of our personalities too.
Andrew, I'm really curious, because you care so much about this issue. Do you see it as your job as the boss to actually pull people aside and talk with them about how they think about vacation? What was the last conversation like that you can remember having?
We have an engineer here who's tremendously talented and hardworking and loves to work, as Sarah was saying. And my head of engineering has been just chiding him week after week to take time off. And and he kind of has been brushing him aside and not wanting to do it. And we finally just last week got him to take at least a couple of days off.
What'd you say to him?
Every week in our planning meetings, we would try to reserve space for him to be able to take time off and push him. And finally, it sunk in.
And of course, I should probably say here that what we're really talking about are white-collar jobs, people with good full-time jobs with benefits. Most other workers don't have those kind of perks, right?
That is true, although in a kind of cruel irony, it turns out that part of the long hours problem is really being concentrated in those top jobs. And while it's true that many lower-income workers couldn't afford to take time off, part of the problem for those workers is they can't get enough hours. Whereas when you look at sort of the top earning people, their problem is they have this like fire hose of hours that they can't ever shut off. So really, it's like our whole economy has just gotten out of balance when it comes to working and working for long hours.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sarah Green Carmichael is an editor for the Harvard Business Review and host of the HBR IdeaCast. Andrew Mason is the co-founder of Detour. And Andrew, also a recording artist on the side, right?
I don't know that we have time to get into that.
All right. Well, we'll go out on some music from Andrew's aptly named album, Hardly Workin'. I'm Ilya Meritz, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.
Bookshelf and catch her in the rack. Jack Welch didn't need no tipping point, and friend, neither do I was climbing Machu Picchu. I recall that's the view. An idea came for $100 million, a shareholder value. Look no further than these Van der Rohe or a painting by Monet. Look no further than an aria by Liszt or Dan.